All right, so let's get into the Passover, and here's the bottom line we're going to learn from this. You're going to learn that we keep the Passover in the New Testament manner in the way that Christ instructed us. That's it. Out of all I'm going to say today, that's it. Don't worry about the Old Testament. Don't worry about Exodus 12. We're going to talk a little bit about Exodus 12. But we don't keep an Old Testament Passover. We keep a New Testament Passover. We do it on the example of Christ and the teaching of the New Testament church. Okay? Remember that. Write that down. And then everything else then can be understood and put in, and whatever other questions, you know, people might have. And there are some legitimate questions in terms of the text. That's fine too. So let's go ahead and look at it here. This is the very simple statement regarding the Passover service. We believe in observing the New Testament Passover on the night of the 14th of Abib, the anniversary of the death of our Savior. Very simple, very straightforward. Now we're talking about the Passover. We are not talking about the Days of Unleavened Bread. That's a separate festival, and actually it's not a separate festival because the Passover isn't really a festival. It's an observance of an event. It is not a holy day. The festival begins on the night of the 15th with the first day of unleavened bread for that 7-day period. So that's really the first festival in the calendar and as mentioned in Scripture. The Passover is the observance of the suffering and the death of Jesus Christ. All right? And it is the New Testament version of what took of what we read about in Exodus 12, when the night of the firstborn being killed in Egypt, the Israelites killed a lamb, put the blood on their doorpost, and stayed inside all night according to the instruction God gave through Moses. All right? That's the Old Testament. You've been through that. But we keep a New Testament Passover. And it's important to understand. In one sense, the phrase New Testament Passover, to a mind not part of our church, that might seem anachronistic, out of line. New Testament Passover. Because Passover is a term that is derived from the Old Testament, all right? But a New Testament Passover, and to a person thinking, well, the Jews keep the Passover, and they only keep the Old Testament, so therefore, what are we dealing with here? But as we will see, there is good reason to retain the name Passover. And we do not use the term communion. We do not use the term Lord's Supper in this whole discussion and our practice, even though we will see the term Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians 11, we don't use that term, and we will see why. Okay, all right. The operative phrase that we are dealing with and understanding when we keep it on the 14th and the timing of even our observance on it when we keep the Passover service every year, just as the sun is going down. And if it's a later Passover, sundown doesn't happen until, let's say, 8 o'clock or maybe even 8:30. We will put that off until that later time so that we are keeping it in a relative period of what is called between the evenings. And the Hebrew phrase is being harbaim. Again, I'm sure glad that Jan has got here to correct me on my Hebrew. Ben harbaim, which means, translated, means between the evenings. And it is very simple to understand. It is talking about that period, as you can see by this picture, which is a picture I took as the Feast of Tabernacles was opening up in Portugal, 2010. The sun is set, but as you can see, there's still light, and on some evenings, depending on all the factors, you can have a magnificent sunset. But before it gets dark, after the sun dips below the horizon, there is that evening portion where there's still light. It's not completely dark, but the sun has set on the horizon wherever you are. And this is the phrase that we are talking about here from between the evenings. And it is what is described in Exodus chapter 12 when the Israelites are given the instruction to kill the Passover lamb on that evening. Between the evenings. And we can turn and read that here. Verse 6, you shall keep it, meaning the lamb, until the 14th day of the same month. If You look back in verse 3 of Exodus 12. On the 10th of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. So the lamb that was to be used for the Passover was to be set aside on the 10th of the month and then kept up until the 14th day, verse 6. So there's a four-day period between the selection of the lamb and then the death of the lamb. You'll keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And that phrase, twilight, is the phrase also translated between the evenings or ben ha-arbaim, all right, at twilight. And that's a pretty good representation of it. The remainder of the chapter goes on to describe to put the blood on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses where they eat it. This particular chart, which is a part of your handout here today, kind of breaks the events down in Exodus chapter 12. This is only dealing with the Old Testament part of it. The point of sundown is when technically the sun is down and dips below the horizon. And there is a specific Hebrew word for that, and this is the word you've got in your handout right here, ba'erev, all right, the evening. Erev in Hebrew is the word for evening or night, and if you look at this line that it's attached to here, that's showing you the sundown line. The phrase in verse 6, ben ha-arba'im, between the two evenings, is right here, while it's still light, before it gets completely dark as it is over here. So that's kind of the breakdown. So we're technically at the very end of the 13th day of the month, the Hebrew calendar, the month Nisan, and then it flows over into the night of the 14th, or the nighttime portion of the 14th. And so if you would just follow this on down, you see in Exodus 12:8, they were to eat it that night. The firstborn of Egypt was killed at midnight. Pharaoh was sends for Moses by night after midnight, but not called until morning. Moses goes, they're told to leave. Israel remains inside their home till morning. These are all parts of the instruction impacting the nighttime portion of the 14th. And then, according to Exodus 12, in the morning, the remains of the meal were to be burned in the morning. Israel were to bake unleavened cakes because they were now going to leave Egypt in the captivity. They collected Joseph's remains, and chapter 13 tells that. They gather at Ramses by hosts and divisions. They take the spoil of the Egyptians, and the firstborn are buried as Israel gathers to leave on the daylight portion of the 14th. And you have sunset then that concludes the day of the 14th. And then with Exodus 12:42, the leaving after they leave that night is to be, when they leave in that night, it is according to that to be a night to be much observed. And that's where we get the name for the event that we do at the beginning of the 15th, or as we would look at it, and it is the first day of unleavened bread, we keep the night be much observed in the church. We all know about that. I don't know if Mr. Creech will cover too much more about that, but Emily, you have a question.
Do people think that it's the 15th because it says until the 14th day? Were they thinking that it meant like the sunset of the 14th day rather than the sunset of the
13th? That's part of it. Even the Jews had controversy about this, which is why you see in the gospel accounts, you see that they are in a hurry to get the body into the grave because the Passover is beginning. Actually, it's the holy day that is beginning, but the Passover lambs are being killed at the time Christ is being actually crucified. When he dies at 3:00, they're killing lambs in the temple. By the time of the first century, there was a controversy even within the Jewish community, and they had begun to move that toward the daylight portion of the 15th, which a clear understanding and a clear reading, which we've always understood out of Exodus 12, has to put it on that they leave at the beginning, or all these events begin to take place at the beginning of the 14th, especially with the Passover being killed, and then they are moving out of Egypt by within the 24-hour later with the 15th. But the Jewish custom had divided through the centuries, and there were Jews keeping the Passover on the evening portion of the 14th, which is why when Jesus sent his disciples to prepare for the Passover, and they kept it on the night time portion of the 14th in the Gospels, there was no problem with that. There's no conflict. They were able to do that because there were some Jews that were keeping it then. But in the temple, the sacrifices were being offered later in the day on the 15th. So within the Jewish community that day, remember this morning I had Pharisees, Sadducees, and Essenes, progressives, liberals, whatever. They had differences of opinion about anything and everything, even themselves about this during that period of time. We look at Exodus 12. We have a whole paper on that, and I'm really summarizing it here. We do have a 46-page study paper on Exodus 12 on our UCG website, which you, if you want to go deeper into this, you should go into. I don't have the time to do it in class. I'm giving you basically the outline of how we see it and understand it, believe it, and teach it in our perspective as to what took place there. Any other questions? Matt.
Yeah, I was just looking at your handout. So just so I'm clear, it has Expositor's Bible Commentary, and he's quoting Josephus as saying between the evenings is roughly from about 3 p.m. to 5 p.m.?
That's one interpretation.
Okay, so UCG doesn't agree with that. Is that correct?
We put that timing of the killing at this point in time right here. A Jewish interpretation of that moves it 24 hours later and puts it on the 14th, beginning at 3 o'clock. With that evening, and that's what Josephus is saying there. Okay? But we're looking at what we see happened or transpired in Exodus 12 at the inception of the events. Okay? So many different traditions evolved within the Jewish community regarding this, and even after the time of the first century, into today as well, because if you know the Jews, they keep what they call, what do the Jews call Passover? Does anybody know? Paula? Yes, they do call it Pesach. They have another name for the meal that they, I should have said for the meal that they do. I think Juliet was up first. Seder, S-E-D-A-R, I believe. Seder. Maybe it's S-E-D-E-R. Is it A-R? Okay. They have a Seder. When you and I are sitting down in the night to be much observed, the Jewish community, the observant Jewish community, is setting down to keep what they call a Seder. And they have a meal. They have bitter herbs. They will have lamb. They will have bread. They will have, wine and whatever else. And they will keep that on the night of the 15th. Okay? Charlie?
E-R.
Okay, so S-E-D-E-R. Seder. But that's their custom, and they keep that. You don't want to keep a Seder. We don't keep a Seder. We shouldn't refer to our night to be much observed as a Seder. That is their tradition, evolved through many, many generations, and it is not what we keep, but it's what they keep. They even keep a seat open for Elijah. Okay, that's just part of their tradition. So a lot of things have evolved within the traditions of the Jews, especially regarding the events of this night, Passover, and everything. Okay. Any other questions? Okay. So going back to Exodus 12, they depart on the night of the 15th, and the scriptures are there, and that begins the days of unleavened bread. They go out and, according to the scripture, they camp at Sukkoth on the first day of unleavened bread, Exodus 12:37. And we have the events there through the 15th, the first day of unleavened bread. So this other chart, I think this is part of your syllabus as well, shows this in connection. Then it adds in a timeline for the other days of unleavened bread there and with scriptural support down below. Now we have always held, if you look at point number 9 here at the bottom, that the crossing of the Red Sea occurred on that last day of unleavened bread. And so 7 days they traveled to that, crossed the Red Sea on that last day of unleavened bread, according to our understanding of the chronology of that time. That also was part of the Jewish understanding of the timing as well. But we keep the seventh day as a holy day based on the command and the fact that they're going through Egypt, going through the Red Sea, can have some symbolic meaning, but we keep that day holy, not because they went through the Red Sea, but because God says it is the first and the seventh day are holy days during that time. Okay? Now, I want to reiterate this. All of this is a matter of certainly biblical understanding to reflect our understanding of what the Scripture says, but it does not form the basis for what we do today in the church. Why? I'm going to tell you why. We don't kill a lamb. We don't put the blood of the lamb on the doorposts of our house, do we? Anybody ever done that? No. You don't stay in your house all night. We don't keep an Old Testament Passover. Repeat after me. We don't keep an Old Testament Passover. We keep a New Testament Passover. Don't ever forget that. And the corollary to that is we are not Jews. Okay? So it's all interesting. And this is a matter of biblical accuracy and interest. But on this subject, that's not what, it doesn't give us our practice as new as the Passover. And I say that because all of this is part of, you know, the, you know, a sacrifice and all moves us into the that whole sacrificial system. Now we do put unleavened bread out, or leavened bread out, and we eat unleavened bread during that time according to God's command. But I will say, Mr. Creech will reiterate this, we see that the Apostle Paul was teaching the church to do that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm not going to go through that. I'll let him do that. But we do that one physical ritual today, and we'd put leaven out and eat unleavened bread along with the New Testament symbols, and we see all of that within the New Testament. We don't see a lamb because the lamb is Jesus Christ. You know, I'm just going to state that bluntly and flatly without, it's one of those things that we carry over. We need to understand why, but I'm going to let Josh go into a bit more of the details about that next time, okay? So, let's look at the Passover term itself from what we see in Scripture. What does it mean, okay? It means several things. When we use the term Passover, it can mean several things scripturally. So let's look at that. The phrase out of Luke chapter 2, verses 41 and 43, where it says, every year at the feast of the Passover, there it's applying it to the whole spring feast, all right? We see that being done in Luke's account regarding the timing of Christ going up with his family to keep that. It was called the Feast of Passover, but in this application, it takes in the entire seven-day festival as well, even though that is named as a separate festival called the Days of Unleavened Bread. But the whole season is called Passover, and we do the same today. And we kind of carry that over based on this scriptural account. So what we're doing is we're marching through just a number of different usages for the term Passover to show how it is used and understood as we come down to this. Secondly, it is also used to scripturally be called the Passover. Luke chapter 22 and verse 1, the Feast of Unleavened Bread drew near, called Passover. Luke incorporates both of them together, and there's no contradiction there. It's understood as to the season again and what is being referred to, but it can have an application at least toward that, even though we understand the distinction of meanings between the Passover service and what the Feast of Unleavened Bread is all about. Okay? There's also, where it says, the 14th day of the first month Abib is to be kept at its appointed time, out of Leviticus chapter 23, verses 5 and 6. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. All right? So, here the word Passover is equated with the 14th day of Abib, according to Leviticus 23. So, that 14th day is called the Passover. You know, little calendars that we have, we have a little wallet calendar, some of you may have, and with all the holy days mentioned, and we will put the Passover there at the beginning of that. But then there's a little asterisk there that at the bottom says, observe the night before. And if the 14th is on March 22nd, for instance, then we will keep the actual observance of it on the evening of March 21st. Okay? But it's that whole period is the can be called the 14th, is the 14th day, but it's called the Passover, the Lord's Passover. But we observe the service during the nighttime portion there. All right? So, the 14th day of the second month is also called Passover, but in this case, it's called the second Passover. Numbers chapter 9, verses 10 through 12 describe the 130 days, 1 month later, from the night of the 14th day of Abib, there is the provision made for someone who was not able to keep the Passover on the original date of the 14th, they can keep it 1 month later. We do that today. We call it the second Passover. That's our term for that, but it's kept in the second month on the 14th day. And it was scripturally, if a person was unclean or on a journey, then and they missed that, then they could keep it 1 month later. You know, if you miss the whole Passover today, we don't say that you're unclean. And typically, even a person that might be traveling could either meet with another group or, in cases, just keep it themselves privately where they would be and keep the 14th day at the appropriate time. But if sickness, hospitalization, or some other circumstance, weather keeps people from doing it, that's why we have the second Passover. 1 year in the congregation I was pastoring in Fort Wayne, Indiana, big snowstorm comes through on the day of the Passover, ice and everything, we couldn't take the Passover. So the whole church missed it, and we had to take it a month later. Now, I told them at the time, you folks are unclean for 30 days until we take the Passover, but that was just a joke, and they all understood that. But we took it later. Were you around it up there at that time? You wouldn't even remember, would you? You were probably too young. I can't even remember. I think your parents were still there. But that's happened. The Indianapolis congregation of 3 or 4 years ago had the same thing come through. So it happens from time to time. All right. Passover lamb or the kid killed on the sacrifice of the 14th is also called the Passover lamb. So that actual lamb killed on the 14th, in 2 Chronicles 35:1, it says, they slaughtered the Passover lambs on the 14th day of the first month. That's another usage for it. And that's repeated in Luke 22:7, when the Passover must be killed, referring to the killing of a lamb. So we've got a day, we've got an animal that is called the Passover, okay? And we'll see, it's also called an ordinance. The roasted Passover lamb or the kid eaten during the meal then becomes a part of the liturgy or the ordinance of the Passover in Exodus 12:8. And Luke 22:11 says, you shall say to the master of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And so that those elements become the ordinance of the Passover in itself, and that is another use of the term. And then lastly, Christ himself is called our Passover. 1 Corinthians 5:7, Paul says, to purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. So this, in literal fact, other than the day where we would call it, but probably the most significant application of the term Passover is to the fact that Christ becomes everything that Old Testament Passover symbolized. He fulfilled it, and then he sacrificed for us. So he then changes those symbols, which he did in the night that he sat down with his disciples, which a clear reading of the events and the timing, we saw that when we went through the 3 days and three nights, that Christ sat down with his disciples then on that nighttime portion of the Passover. A key scripture on that is obviously 1 Corinthians chapter 11, which you've, again, studied through exhaustively. But beginning in verse 17, Paul gives the conduct and the instructions for keeping the Passover. Verse 23, Paul says, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. So it was on that nighttime portion of the 14th that he sat down with his disciples, according to the gospel accounts, gave thanks, and he broke it, and he said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. And in the same manner, he said, take the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And so Paul teaches the Corinthian congregation, which is largely a Gentile congregation, how to keep the Passover. And you know, he warns them against any abuses that had crept in as well. He does that earlier on, but he gives them very specific instruction regarding it here in terms of the timing and the manner. And that correlates with the gospel accounts of Christ changing those symbols for the Passover service, for the New Testament Passover. Any questions on any of this that we've covered up to this point here? It's pretty straightforward. I want to mention that there's actually three papers on our UCG website on the Passover of Exodus 12, the New Testament Passover, and then there's an addendum to the Passover of Exodus 12. Those of you that are interested, if you haven't done so already, I would encourage you to download those. They're too big, and I don't normally hand them out to everybody here, but you can download a PDF of that off of our UCG website and go into it a whole lot more detail regarding all the history and the details behind all of that. Let's start by looking at the New Testament Passover symbols. Again, we keep a New Testament Passover. And the reason I emphasize this is because, you know, I mentioned two former students getting mixed up that the 15th should be the time that we do it. 22 years ago, with the disruption in the Worldwide Church of God, and the disruption about the church, church government, church authority to establish and sound teaching on any and all things, and coupled with disillusionment, the proliferation of information upon the internet, people becoming self-styled Greek, Hebrew, biblical, theological, church experts, a lot of ideas began to circulate and develop that tripped up people about a number of different teachings, but this was one of them. And it lingers among those that are still observant, still keeping God's way of life, and people fear that they should be keeping the Passover on the, let's say, the 15th day on the 24 hours later. To be honest with you, if I recall correctly, the mix-up on the Passover, moving it to the night to be much observed, actually, I can remember that being discussed back in the Worldwide Church of God in the 1970s with an earlier split that took place with one of the significant leaders of the church. And his speculation that it would seem logical to keep the Passover as the night to be much observed or to keep the Passover and then move into a celebratory service of the night to be much observed on the same night. And it stemmed from a misreading of the timing of the events in Exodus 12, and that particular church that had split off from the Worldwide Church of God began to do that at that time, is my understanding. At least I remember that hearing that that was being discussed. And yet we continued on in the Worldwide Church of God, keeping it in the manner that we do today, and we've carried that over into the United Church of God. And I think that it is scripturally sound and supported from Scripture based on our understanding of Exodus 12, plus, and more importantly, when Jesus took it. To me, looking at all the arguments a few years ago, you know, you look at this argument, you put it aside, you pick up from the stack another idea, and you look at it, and then you put it aside. And the one idea that is the clincher is we do what Jesus did. We keep it on the night that Jesus did it. And I will, you know, just a little kind of my personal approach to so much of the argumentation that goes on over doctrine, teaching, practice, custom within the Church of God community. Ain't nobody got time for that. You talk about whether it's the calendar issue, 14th or 15th, other things. You know, I've studied it all, looked at it. I think we're right scripturally. If others hold a certain, they feel their conscience, their view or whatever is different, and they have to do what they have to do, that's fine. Go do that. Don't try to force the whole church to come around to your point of view. If you hold a minority opinion, keep it to yourself. Or go and start your own church. Go create your own television program and write your own magazine. But don't disrupt here. What really bugs me, as I've watched all this in the church, is the people who hang around us with their pet ideas and, you know, let me tell you my idea. You need to listen to this sermon. You need to go to this website. Here's this booklet. We don't have time for that. You know, I've had people come to my congregation with their ideas, and I say, you know, Tom, change the name. You're welcome to be here. Leave your cassette tapes at the door, okay? And you come on in fellowship and have a tuna salad sandwich with us and a cup of coffee after services. But leave your sermon tapes or your champion's sermon tapes at the door, and we'll be happy. And he did. He did. And he eventually came back around and is with us to this day. So that's how I handle those things. And if you're of a contrary opinion, then go to the next Holiday Inn Express and rent your own room and do your own thing with you and whoever else wants to follow you, but don't do it here. There has to be an authority and to have peace and order within the church.